Hi everyone, my name is Sally Lawrence and I'm with Samuels & Associates. And Samuels & Associates is a consulting firm located in Oakland. And we do research and evaluation primarily around nutrition and physical activity and chronic disease prevention. And today I'm going to talk a little bit about our work in assessing public health department nutritional environments. Let's see if I can move it. Okay. So the topics that I'll cover today include a brief description of the Healthy Eating Active Communities Program, otherwise known as HEAC, and the Central California Regional Obesity Prevention Program, otherwise known as CROP, and we've been working with these programs to assess public health departments and a few additional things as well. I'll also talk about our methods that we use to assess public health department nutrition environments. I'll present the results from our baseline assessments. And I'll also talk a little bit about the nutrition and wellness policies and programs that public health departments had in place at the time of our assessments. All right, so beginning with HEAC and CROP, both of these programs are multi-year grants funded by the California Endowment, and six different communities were funded in HEAC and also six different communities in CROP. And in HEAC, these communities are all over the state of California, and most of them are urban locations, but one of them in Northern California is a rural location. And for the CROP initiative, there are six different communities in the Central Valley of California, and these are rural communities for the most part. And these communities were originally selected to participate in these grants because they were predominantly low-income areas. They had a high need for obesity prevention services and work, and they also demonstrated the capacity to be able to do this work. Both of these programs are focused on increasing access to healthy foods and safe places to play, and the strategies that they're using to achieve these goals are environmental and policy change strategies. So one of the sectors that HEAC and CROP are working in to make changes in access to healthy foods and physical activities is the healthcare sector, and this includes the public health departments. And so why, you might ask, are they focusing on public health departments? Well, first of all, the grantees felt like it was important for clients and staff to be in a healthy environment. And in recent years, public health departments have really taken a lead role in developing and implementing nutrition policies, like in school environments, for example. And so they felt like, as the ones who are often out in the community promoting healthy environments, it made sense for them to model these healthy environments in their own workspace, or in a sense, to walk the talk. In terms of the methods that we use to assess the CROP and HEAC public health departments, we're actually the lead evaluators for HEAC and CROP, so we're tasked with tracking and assessing any changes that result as a result from HEAC and CROP as a result of the initiative. We used environmental assessments to do this, and collected baseline data for HEAC in public health departments in 2006, and in 2007 went to health departments and collected baseline data there in 2007. The type of tool we used was based on a tool that we developed to assess nutrition environments in schools. In all, we assessed 10 public health departments. Four of these public health departments were in HEAC communities, and six of them were in CROP communities. During the assessments, we observed vending machines and cafeterias, coffee carts, and physical activity resources in the health departments. And we also conducted interviews with public health department staff about any nutrition policies or programs that were currently in place. Okay. So some of the main evaluation questions that led our assessments were: to what extent are the public health departments supporting healthy choices for the employees? Also, what are the lessons learned or best practices that are emerging as a result of the public health department efforts? And lastly, to what extent do these changes in public health department environments improve health behaviors? So we didn't actually find too many cafeterias when we went to health departments, but we did find a number of vending machines. And 7 out of the 10 health departments had vending machines. So there were a total of 25 vending machines in these 7 health departments. 10 of them were food vending machines, 12 of them were beverage vending machines, and then 3 of them were combined vending machines, or machines that had both food and beverages in them. In terms of what we found in the beverage vending machines, we saw that about 20% of the beverages were soda, 17% were diet soda, and 15% were water. So those 3 different types of beverages made up about half of all of the beverages that we observed. Ooh, switching. I think I was done. Go ahead. So in order to assess the healthfulness of the beverages that we found in the vending machines, we applied the SB 965 standards, and these standards were actually developed for schools in California. So although they were developed for schools, we found that they're really helpful in assessing healthfulness of beverages in other environments as well. And so in order to adhere to these standards, a beverage must fit within certain categories. So for example, if the beverage is a juice, it must have greater than or equal to 50% juice and no added sweeteners to adhere. And then, for example, a soda would not adhere to these standards either. All right. So when we applied these standards, we found that only about 1/3 of the beverages adhered to them, while about 2/3 did not. We also looked at beverage vending machine advertisements, and we found that food vending machines did not actually have any advertisements on them. And so we found a total of 12 vending machines with ads, and we used the contents of the ads to determine whether the beverages pictured on the ads adhered or did not adhere to the 965 standards or beverage standards for schools in California, and we found that only one of those advertisements adhered to the standards. In terms of food vending machines, the most frequently observed type of food was candy. Out of a total of about 350 slots in the food vending machines, about 103 of them were filled with candy. Next was chips at about 40 slots, and lastly, next was cookies after that at about 36 per slots, and then there were several other slots filled with different types of food. Again, similar to beverages, in order to determine the healthfulness of the foods that we observed in the vending machines, we applied the California State Nutrition Standards for foods in schools. And in order to meet these standards, snacks have to meet certain fat, saturated fat, and sugar limits, and can have no more than 250 calories total. Entrees have to have less than 36% of calories from fat and be no more than 400 calories total. So when we applied these standards to the foods that we observed, we saw that only 15% of the foods adhered to the standards, and 85% of them did not. Right. We also asked public health department staff about any nutrition policies and programs that were in place at the time to improve nutrition environments in public health departments, and found that 4 out of 6 of the public health departments actually did have policies in place. And this chart is a bit complicated, so I'll try to walk you through it here. The first policy, in the first column there, it covered only a single health department, and only foods and beverages offered in meetings or conferences, and it did provide standards for what they considered a healthy food or beverage that could be served at a meeting. The second policy was a countywide policy and applied to vending machines throughout the county, any county-owned or operated vending machines. And they did set nutrition standards for what was healthy or not, and I'll talk about those in a minute. And the third policy was a bit more comprehensive. It was also a countywide policy and covered vending, meetings and conferences, and fundraising. And they did set standards also for healthy foods and beverages for each of those. And the last policy, policy four, although more comprehensive than the rest and covering vending machines, cafeterias, meetings and conferences, and physical activity, it did not include any standards about what they considered healthy or not. All right, so this is a brief summary of the nutrition standards. And as I mentioned before, only two of the four policies had beverage standards. And we found that these standards were actually pretty similar to the California state standards for schools. The main difference there, though, was that instead of 100% of the beverages in a vending machine having to adhere to the standards, only 50% had to adhere to the standards. So a vending machine could have 50% of the beverages adhering, but then the rest of the machine could be soda. Similar with food, the food standards were also pretty similar, if not a little bit stronger than the school standards. But again, only 50% of the foods in a beverage in a food vending machine had to adhere to the standards, and the other 50 could be whatever. As I mentioned, we also talked to health department staff about nutrition and wellness programs that were occurring at the health department at that time, and they gave us a variety of responses. The majority of them had health fairs on public health department grounds, and they also did some sort of nutrition or physical activity presentations or activities on health department grounds as well. There were a lot fewer who did things like discounted gym memberships or on-site farmers markets. All right. So in conclusion, based on our baseline results, it appears that public health departments have a long way to go to meet the standards that some of them have passed, let alone the state nutrition standards for schools. We were pleasantly surprised to see that a lot of health departments are beginning to pass policies around vending and cafeterias and so forth, and put in place some different programs to improve the nutrition environment. And we're really excited to go out and collect endpoint data to see whether these changes that public health departments are making are actually having any impact. So we'll start data collection for HEAC again later this week, actually, and CROP in fall of 2009. Thanks so much.